The book of Romans, letter to Romans, and chapter 14 and the first 13 verses. Let's hear the word of God together. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause of offence in our brother's way. Well, we thank God for reading of his word. Earlier in our service, we read Romans chapter 14, and there's one verse in that chapter that I want us to spend the rest of our time considering and listening to. It's Romans 14 and verse 5. Romans 14 and verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So reads the word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by the Apostle Paul. I wonder if you ever stop, do we ever stop to think about what we're doing on a Sunday, what we're doing here, why we've come, and as we've come, what it is exactly that we're doing, and why we're doing it. Well, over these Sunday mornings when I've been preaching recently, we've been thinking about what the Bible says about the Sabbath day, about the Lord's Day. We can call it different things, but Sunday. And particularly we're asking a question over these Sundays, and that is there a Sabbath day for Christians? We know that there was a Sabbath day for the Jewish people. That was Saturday. We know that one day in every week, the Jewish people were commanded that they must not work. They must do all their work in 6 days, but the seventh day was a Sabbath day. We know that that was one of the Ten Commandments. We also know that we don't do that. We don't meet on a Saturday. We don't worship God in the same way that they did in the Old Testament, because Jesus has come now. And so the question is, do Christians now have a Sabbath day? We come together on a Sunday. We call it the Lord's Day because it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. We remember his death. We have a communion service this evening. We'll be remembering his death for us. And we have a day that reminds us of his resurrection as well. So the real question is, should we be observing a day of rest every week? Should we be devoting ourselves on that day to the worship of God? Is it right for us to be here as we are today? It might be a good thing for us to do. We might all conclude that it's a very good thing to have one day off a week. But we're not really asking that. What we're saying is, does the Bible command us to have a day as Christians every week? And does it tell us what we should be doing on that day? Now, it's a really important question because over our lifetimes, there has been huge change with regard to Sundays. For many of us here of an older generation, when we were young, there were very, very few shops open on a Sunday. There was very little sport that went on a Sunday. Our world has changed rapidly and drastically with respect to a Sunday. Sunday is very much now just another day. It's just another day of the week. And people choose to do what they want on this day. Many people work not because they have to on a Sunday, but because they choose to. And they may have other days off in the week. And some don't seem to have a day off at all. So there's been a huge change. There's also quite a lot of confusion because Christians approach this day in different ways. There are some Christians who regard the day as a Sabbath day, and that so they wouldn't do any work on this day. And other Christians will say, well, no, it's a day when I can come and worship, but I can choose what I do for the rest of the day. And so there are different opinions. And that always becomes difficult because Christians need to think through some of the issues. So far, what have we looked at? Well, on Sunday mornings, we've looked at the most important statement of all about the Lord's Day, about the Sabbath. And that is when the Lord Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That's a very important statement that Jesus is making. He was challenging people who were trying to force other people to keep the day in their particular way. They were putting lots of burdens on people and made the day quite a miserable day. And Jesus is saying it was never intended to be like that. It's for you and it's for your good, and it was made for you as part of the wonderful world that God has made. He's given you one day in seven for rest and for worship. And then we also looked at the example that the Lord Jesus gave us as to how the Sabbath should be kept. Jesus, throughout his life, kept the Sabbath day. It was Saturday for him because he was a Jew. But he didn't keep it in the conventional way that the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders thought you should. Jesus broke all the rules regarding the Sabbath day because Jesus said, I know what this day is really all about. And so Jesus showed us through his actions that it's a day when you worship God. It's also a day when you do things that are necessary to do. If one of your animals falls down a pit, you pull it out, you look after it. If someone's sick and you can help them, then you care for them. It's a day when you can show mercy to other people as well. And Jesus was showing us by these actions and words how God intended us to have this one day and keep it for worship, for works that are necessary, and for works of mercy. And then, last time we were looking at it, we looked at one place in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 4, that speaks about the fact that there is a continuing Sabbath day for the people of God and indicates to us why Christians don't keep a Saturday, they keep a Sunday. Because the Lord Jesus Christ finished his great work of saving us by rising from the dead on the first day of the week. And so from then on, Christians have always kept this day remembering the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us. But like I say, Christians disagree. And when Christians disagree about something, and when they come to different conclusions about what this day really is, then wouldn't it be wonderful if we could find a verse in the Bible that really sorted it out very, very clearly. And, you know, people on both sides think that they've found that verse. I showed you the verse from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. And people who believe, as I do, that this day is the Christian Sabbath day, they look at this verse, Hebrews 4 and verse 9 and 10. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Now, those who believe that this day is the Christian Sabbath day say, well, those verses are talking about Jesus. They're telling us that Jesus has given us a day, and it continues to be a day of rest, a day of Sabbath rest for the people of God, Christians. Why is it a special day? Well, because on this day, he who has entered his rest, that's Jesus. Jesus has entered his rest. He's gone back to heaven. He's entered his rest. And he has ceased from his works. He's finished the wonderful work of saving us on the cross, as God did from his. God ceased from the work of creation on the sixth day, so God had the seventh day as a day of rest. Jesus ceased from his work of saving us on the first day of the week by rising from the dead. So those who believe that this is a continuing Sabbath say, well, there's a very clear verse. But others say, well, no, it's not really very clear because you're assuming it's talking about Jesus. Well, yeah, but if you read the passage carefully, I think you come to the same conclusion. But other people will say, no, that's talking about heaven, and that we've got a rest waiting for us in heaven. Well, I don't personally see that. So it's not really a clear verse, is it? And then there are people on the other side who say, well, no, Christians should treat every day the same. And have they got a verse? Well, they say, yeah, we've got a verse. And their verse is Romans 14 and verse 5. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, someone would say, well, that's clearly saying that it's wrong, or it's a weak position, if you read the passage, it's a weak position to say that we have to keep one day in every week as different from the others. Because surely what Paul is saying here is that all days are alike. And so they will look at this verse and say, well, it says that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're all alike. And as Christians, well, we keep every day for the Lord. So having one day is not necessary. And that's how they would interpret that. But I don't believe that verse is saying that. If we look at it carefully, I don't think it's saying that at all. And so we need to look at these things, don't we? Because when Christians disagree, in a spirit of love, we need to find out, well, what is the Bible really teaching us? So let me say this first of all. There are serious problems if we include the weekly Sabbath day in this verse, Romans 14, verse 5. If we say that every day of the week is exactly the same as every other day, there are certain problems that we're left with. Here's the first. It means that one of the Ten Commandments is no longer relevant. One of the Ten Commandments no longer has an abiding relevance for us. Because the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. You see, if we say, well, all days are alike, then it means that that commandment no longer has any relevance. It means that you take that one commandment out of the ten and you say, well, that commandment was just for the Jews. It was just for them. It's the same as all those rules about what you can eat and what you can't eat. You're not allowed to eat pork if you're a Jew. And you've got to keep certain days special as well because the Bible said so. And there's all these religious festivals that they've got to keep as well, the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles and all of that. And if you say that this verse of Paul is saying that there's no such thing as a Sabbath day anymore, then you're taking that one commandment out and you're putting with all the other ceremonial laws, and you're saying that because Jesus has come, you no longer have to keep those food laws, and you no longer have to keep the festivals, and you no longer have to keep all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, because they've all been set to one side. And there's a problem there. Here's a second problem that you have. It means that as Christians, we don't have to have a special day. We have no special first day of the week. That this day is the same as any other day. That it's not distinguished in any other way from the other six. That we don't have to say to Christians, God has given us one day a week to remember Christ's resurrection. We can't even say that this is the Lord's Day. Because how would you say that Sunday is the Lord's Day, but the rest of the week isn't the Lord's Day? It becomes a problem if you believe that Paul is saying here that all days are alike. There's no reason for a Christian to keep this day as a day of worship and praise to God and meeting together as God's people. You can't set it apart at all because all days are alike. So why shouldn't Christians meet on a Monday or Friday or Saturday? And why should they choose any day? So there's a problem if you say that this is for every day. And there's another problem as well. Those Christians who observe one day in seven as a Christian Sabbath, a Christian day of worship and rest, commemorating the Lord's resurrection, according to Romans 14, these Christians are weak Christians. They're weak Christians. They're weak in the faith. They're weak in their understanding. Because Paul is saying in this passage that if someone says, I'm going to keep one day a week as special, I'm going to keep one day as a day of worship and praise to God, Paul says that person is weak. And those who are stronger, who understand that all days are the same, well, they mustn't judge that weak person. They must bear with them. Is that really what Paul is saying? So what is the answer to these very serious problems? Well, first of all, we find that God gave us a Sabbath day at creation. It didn't start with the Ten Commandments. God didn't begin with his people, the Israelites, in the wilderness there by Mount Sinai and say, oh, now I think it's a great idea for you to have one day and I'm going to command you to have one day. No, that day was already there. Right from the beginning of creation, God kept that first Sabbath day, that first seventh day, and he made it a hallowed day, and he rested from all his work, and he blessed that seventh day, and he said, this day I'm going to give to all of humanity. As Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. So we don't look to the Ten Commandments for the beginning of this one day a week rest and worship. We look back to creation and the beginning of the whole world. And God said, it's really good for human beings to imitate me and to have one day of rest every week. It's not good for them to work 7 days. To work 24/7 is not what God ever intended for anybody. It's not good and it's not right for us to do so. No, the Sabbath is a creation gift by God. God set aside one day in seven for all human beings to worship him. And it was then incorporated into the Ten Commandments as part of the moral law, because it is good for human beings. It's good for us. And it remains part of our regular lives on earth. 6 days work and one day's rest is the best way for human beings to regulate their lives. Why? Because God said so. God has created us to work like that. It's not good to work yourself to death, and you will work yourself to death if you don't have one day of rest every week, because your bodies, a whole of this world is designed for that. And the Lord Jesus claimed to be the Lord of the Sabbath, not so that he could get rid of it, but so that he could change it to the first day of the week and still establish it as something that is good and right for Christians. So we can't say that you take out one commandment and it's no longer relevant, because you've got to go back to creation anyway. And that is what God established from the very beginning. And then what about the second problem? That if we say that all days are alike, it means that the first day of the week has no special relevance for us. Sunday has no special relevance. But hold on. Sunday is the most glorious day of the week. It's the first day of the week. And on it, we remember that Jesus rose from the dead. In the Bible, it is recognized as a day of great significance. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, for instance, Acts 20 and verse 7. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. The Christians met on that first day of the week to break bread, to have their communion service together. Paul says that we should set aside money on the first day of the week in order to provide for those who are in need. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. The Apostle John on the island of Patmos, what does he say in Revelation 1 and verse 10? Glorious thing that he says, Revelation 1 and verse 10. He says, I was in the Spirit, when? On the Lord's day. So you can't say that the Bible doesn't make a difference of this day. This first day of the week is the Lord's day. Why? Because there are two events that have changed our lives forever. I hope they've changed your life. It may be that you're here this morning and you're just interested in the Christian faith and you want to know more about it. Well, that's great. But you need to know two things that have changed our lives forever. First, the death of Jesus has changed our lives forever. Jesus has died for our sins, and he took our sins on his body, on the cross of Calvary, on that Good Friday. Now, we remember that every time we have a communion service, because God has given us a communion service to remind us that Jesus died for our sins. But then there's a second thing that has changed our lives forever, the resurrection of Jesus. He has risen from the dead. He's alive forever and ever and ever. And God has given us one day every week to remind us about that. So the communion service reminds us of the death of Jesus. The Lord's Day reminds us of the resurrection. The Lord's Supper is there as a memorial of his death. And the Lord's Day is there as a memorial of his resurrection. So you can't say that all days are alike. The Bible doesn't allow you to say that. And would Paul really consider the Christian a weak Christian who regularly remembers the Lord's resurrection by taking a day off from work wherever possible? Not always possible, of course, these days, but by taking a day off from work on the first day of the week, recognizing creation's command and gathering with other Christians to worship the Lord. Isn't that what we're doing? And isn't that a wonderful, glorious thing? How can that be a weak thing to do? And didn't Paul join with those disciples on the first day of the week to break bread? Surely, you've got huge problems if you're going to approach this verse in Romans and say that Romans 14, verse 5, means that all days are the same. So is there another way of understanding it? Yes, there is. And that's the second thing I want to say to you this morning. There's another way of understanding this verse. You see, part of the problem is that we are in 2018. And we can't help but read the Bible through our 2018 lives. And so when you or I read a verse like this, we read it like this. One person esteems one day of the week above another. Another esteems every day of the week alike. But that's not what Paul says. He doesn't say of the week. You see, we immediately think that Paul must be thinking about days of the week, because that's how we think. When you hear day, you immediately think of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You think of a day of the week. And so you read a verse like that and you say, well, he's obviously talking about people who think that one day of the week is more important than another day of the week. But would the Roman Christians actually be reading it like that? I don't think they would. especially if we compare it to other parts of the Bible. Galatians 4 and verse 10. Bear with me on this. It's a bit tedious, but it's worth thinking about. Galatians 4 and verse 10. Galatians 4 and verse 10. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Days and months and seasons and years. What's he talking about? Colossians 2 and verse 16. Colossians 2 and verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. What's happening there? Paul's talking about Christians who are observing days and months and seasons and years, and festivals and new moons and Sabbaths. Notice, not the Sabbath, but Sabbaths in the plural. These are all Jewish religious feasts. And what's happening in Galatians and Colossians is that people are coming to the church and they're saying, if you really want to be a Christian, you've got to follow all the ways of the Jewish religion. You've got to effectively become a Jew or remain a Jew. You've got to observe all those festivals, all those feasts, all those special days. Don't know whether any of you have had any experience of being in a place where there are lots of Jewish schools. I was in London and there was lots of Jewish schools there. Do you know, it's quite incredible. If you have a choice and you could send your child to any school you liked, sending them to a Jewish school is fantastic because they have more days off than anybody else in the whole year. Almost every month you get some special days off. And you see all these Jewish children running about. Why aren't they in school? Oh, it's another Jewish feast. Because you read to the Old Testament and they've got feasts and days all the time. And Paul is saying to the Galatians and Colossians, don't let anybody make you observe all those Jewish feasts as if you've got to do that in order to be a Christian, because you don't. He's meaning the special days, the special feast days of the Jews, the new moon celebration and others like that. These are special Sabbaths. They're not the weekly Sabbath. They're special Sabbath days. They're special occasions. And he says in Galatians and Colossians, don't let anybody judge you like that. You haven't got to become a Jew in order to be a Christian. In Romans and chapter 14, it doesn't include the weekly Sabbath. You see, in Romans, what's happening is that the people here are not sure whether they can fully give up on their old Jewish ways. And Paul sees them. It's not that someone's forcing them into being a Jew. These are people who've got a conscience. And they think, well, I've been a Jew and I've always kept these special feasts. I'm really not sure whether I can leave them all just yet. And Paul says, if there's people like that in the congregation, then bear with them. Bear with them. Don't force them into anything. Just bear with them. They're weak at the moment, but as they grow in their understanding of the Christian faith, so they will realize that these special days don't have to be kept. It's not a day of the week. It's the special Jewish days that they had in the Old Testament. That's what it means. Something a little bit similar to that is the whole idea of drinking wine or not drinking wine. Again, you know that there are Christians who disagree over whether we should drink wine or not. And there are some Christians who feel, well, no, I've got a conscience about that. I'm not going to drink wine. There may be good reasons not to, especially if you had a problem with alcohol, of course. But there are some Christians who say, well, no, I think it's wrong for me to drink wine. And there are others who say, well, no, everything's permissible. In that case, it's okay to drink wine. Now, it's a very similar sort of thing. When you've got both groups of people in the church, it's wrong for those who are really strong in that matter to say to the weak ones, come on, you drink wine, it's fine. That would be wrong. Equally, it's wrong for those who are weak who say, well, I think the Bible doesn't allow me to drink any alcohol. It's wrong for them to say, well, we've got to make it a rule in the church that nobody's allowed to drink wine. It's the same sort of thing. And Paul is saying in Romans, now, bear with each other. Understand each other. But he's not talking about the Sabbath day. He's not talking about the Christian Sabbath. He's not saying that there should not be one day in the week that's so different from the rest that we say, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice. We'll be glad. We'll come together. We want to remember that Jesus died for our sins. So we'll have a communion service together. And we want to remember that Jesus rose again. So we'll meet together on the first day of the week. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying about the Jewish feast days, not about the days of the week. It does mean, of course, that there aren't really, really clear verses unless you dig deep and try to understand what God is saying. And I think it's really important because I do think that our churches are suffering at the moment because we don't all recognize this glorious day and try our utmost to use it for the honour and glory of God. And I think it would be to our good to do that. Now, I, for a long time, had a little verse, a little quote on the wall of the study in there. I've taken it down now. I put it somewhere safe and can't find it. But it was John Newton, you know, the man who wrote Amazing Grace. And it said something like this. He said, I will not expect anybody to accept in 30 minutes what it has taken me 30 years to learn. And I'm the same. I've thought about these things for many, many years and thought about the Lord's Day and why we do what we do. And in 30 minutes, I don't expect for every one of you to immediately agree. But what I would say is think about it. Think about God's word. What is God's word really saying? How should we use this wonderful day that God has given us? Not to make restrictions and burdens on other people, but to use it for the glory and honour of God and for our good. That's the right approach, surely. Well, may God bless his word to us.